Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.
Leo Varadkar has said that Fine Gael will only enter government as a last resort. The acting Taoiseach's comments come ahead of the meeting of the Fine Gael's parliamentary party this afternoon, and Mr. Varadkar says that Sinn Féin's Mary Lou MacDonald should try to form a government of the left. He has also put it to Fianna Fáil to try to form a rainbow coalition with the Greens and the Labour and the Soc Dems and the Independents. None of these add up, by the way. And according to the Sunday Business Post Red Sea opinion poll at the weekend, this is what you guys want. About a quarter of you, 26%, want a grand coalition with Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and probably the Greens. About a quarter of you, but 26% again, want a Sinn Féin-led left coalition of whatever kind of left groupings that you can put together to do that. But, and also just 19%, so about one in five of you do want Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil. That's another grouping that people want. But less than one in six of you actually want a rerun. So the electorate wants something cobbled together. And to be honest, 26% Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, or 26% leftist are the two highest groupings, although the leftist numbers don't add up. But anyway, I want to know 53106 what our listeners want. You know, did you vote for change and you think, no, my God, if we get a grand coalition, that's absolutely flying in the face of that? Equally, only 24% of people voted for Sinn Féin, 76% of people didn't. Or equally, you kind of go, no, I really wanted something completely different and now I'm getting the same old, same old. I what do you think and where do you stand? And to discuss all of this, Daniel McConnell, Irish Examiner, political editor, is on the line. Danny, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Kira. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. What do you make of these figures? Is it confused? Does the electorate not truly know what they want?
Well, the electorate is saying we want change, but they're saying we haven't got a foggiest idea of how we're going to go and get that change because there isn't a coherent pattern. You've kind of minority blocks there of 26% saying they want a kind of left-leaning government. You've a block there, similarly enough, of a sort of super grand coalition with the Greens and the Soc Dems and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. But neither option would command majority support. So it's a very confused picture, as you say, and it's a very difficult picture for our politicians to try and reconcile because it's quite clear that Fine Gael's preferred option, without question, would be to scuttle off to the opposition benches and leave it to Mary Lou MacDonald and Micheál Martin and whoever else. But just at the moment, there doesn't seem to be any appetite for that sort of arrangement. Also, as well, you know, the left kind of coalition, the left-wing coalition, as you know, demanded by you know, people in Sinn Féin and others, just doesn't simply stack up in terms of the numbers.
No.
Now, there is a left majority in the Dáil, that is true, but it's very unwieldy and it's not cohesive. And it would just beggar belief as to how such a coalition or a grouping or an alignment of such groups could actually work, because the left, as we know, is notoriously famous for falling out amongst themselves. Just look at Paul Murphy's split from, you know, the Solidarity People before
he's
profit.
Practically split from himself at this stage, in fairness.
Exactly. Yeah. And so there really is a lack of clarity and a lack of sort of coherent thinking. But, you know, there is a job on hand. I think the one overriding message that the poll showed at the weekend is a second election is the one thing that people don't want. And, you know, so there is a task at hand for the politicians to make sure that they deliver on that particular mandate.
Fine Gael, you mentioned that Leo wants to scuttle off to the opposition, and I think you're absolutely right. But it would suit them, wouldn't it, to have an unwieldy left alliance that would crumble and fracture and look disorganised and chaotic and things like that. It would suit their narrative very well, in fact.
It would, because in fairness, look, I mean, they went to the polls in 2016 having delivered some form of economic return and recovery and got no thanks for it. They simply went to the public again this time around with exactly the same message or a very similar type of message that, you know, we're the only ones who were really responsible about, you know, fixing the economy. The public just simply didn't care. They saw the deficiencies in health and housing, and, you know, you hear stories of, you know, elderly ladies and gentlemen in their 80s and 90s, you know, sitting in hospital trolleys for 20 hours plus across the country, and that's the stuff that is beginning to resonate and people want action on. And I think what Fine Gael have done is they've abandoned the sort of middle classes, because, you know, the aspiration of owning a home or even renting at an affordable level is now beyond most middle class people. And when that's sort of happening, then you kind of are into a minority space. So if Fine Gael want to reclaim that centre ground, they are going to have to control that housing narrative. And they will argue that they've done an awful lot. And, you know, I have some sympathy for Owen Murphy, because the sort of byproduct of what he's done over the last two or three years we'll only see in then probably the next two or three years down the line. So I'd say what you might see happening is a lot of people claiming credit for the work that Owen Murphy ended up doing in office. However, you know, there isn't any sort of denying that the Fine Gael response to the housing crisis and the Labour response to the housing crisis since 2014 has been abysmal, and they've been running to catch up ever since. So they've abandoned their sort of core kind of voting groups, you know, under 30. I mean, if you're over 50, the economy's not looking too bad for you right now, but if you're their son or daughter, yeah, you can't get on the property ladder. You don't have a pension worth speaking about, and you know the idea of having a job for life is just doesn't even exist anymore. So the three main reasons for playing by the rules just don't apply to you. So why would you vote for a centrist government? Of course you're going to look at other options like a Sinn Féin, the Social Democrats, Labour Party, People yeah. for Profit. So I'm not surprised at the result that it's as fractious as it is. But the centre, as Pascal Donoghue, you know, likes to say, must hold. Well, it hasn't done a very good job of holding over the last 4 or 5 years.
No. Just with regard to, is there a naivety among the electorate? Because I've seen people online saying that they couldn't possibly have a Fianna Fáil Fine Gael coalition. That would fly in the face of everything. It boils down to numbers. No seats have an extra weighting than others. The 37 seats that Sinn Féin have are not weighted in any way more than the 37 that Fianna Fáil have. So is there a naivety that people think because maybe there was a lot of talk about the wind of change blowing through and the Sinn Féin surge and all, that people think, well, that means that they should be the ones with the wind at their back. But actually the seat numbers are what it all boils down to, and that isn't how it pans out.
Well, I mean, I described it as the big lie of last week in my column on Saturday that, you know, that Sinn Féin won the election. No party won the election. No party on 25% or less won the election. I mean, you win the election when you get 50% plus of the vote. There certainly was a mood for change, but Sinn Féin did not get all of that vote. And, you know, as people have rightly said, you know, an overwhelming majority of people voted to keep Sinn Féin out of power. You know, they got 26% or less than of the vote. So, you know, there's a large, large majority of people who don't want Sinn Féin in office. And I think what you're seeing, that was the sort of fight back from the likes of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil at the back end of last week. But I just think what we're seeing today between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil now, we're going to have weeks of this. We're going to have weeks of game playing, saying, oh, it's up to you. No, it's up to you to try and form a government. But ultimately, I think, you know, the numbers don't lie, and as you said, and ultimately it will come down to two of the three big factions, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, or Sinn Féin. Two of those factions will have to coalesce if a government's to be formed.
There is significant danger, and I wrote about this myself at the weekend, for Fianna Fáil and coalescing with either of those two groups, isn't it? Is Fianna Fáil at risk of a split? It is, there, you know, there are people who would say it harks back to the time when there used to be kind of a PD end of Fianna Fáil and a Labour end of Fianna Fáil. Fianna Fáil has always been a very broad church. Are they at risk, whatever way they jump now, of perhaps inner splits, rancour within the party? Is Fianna Fáil on a sticky wicket here, do you think?
I think it is. I mean, I think both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are suffering somewhat of an identity crisis. You know, Fine Gael, you know, having proclaimed itself as a sort of catch-all party, Fianna Fáil light in 2011, is now very much retreating back into its sort of traditional kind of middle class base, but it's not, doesn't appear to be working in terms of, like, it seems to have lost a lot of its agricultural support. I mean, like, we've run agricultural polls year after year since Leo Varadkar has taken over, and even before that, and the support for Fine Gael amongst farmers has been on the steady decline. So they seem to be losing their own traditional bases, but yet they're not capturing any new voters. And ultimately for Fianna Fáil, you know, they haven't reclaimed the ground that they lost in 2011. They were, as we all know, the grand old party. They captured everybody from the working classes to the higher end of business people, and they just haven't reclaimed that. Like, so that vote has certainly fractured. You know, the big seismic result in 2016 was that the combined vote of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil dropped below 50% in 2016. It dropped even further now this time round. So, you know, the, as I said, it goes back to the centre is not holding, and therefore, you know, the rise of the likes of Sinn Féin and the fracturing of the vote on the left, I think unless something major happens in terms of reclaiming that middle ground, I think that fracturing of the vote is going to be a sign of things in Irish politics for the foreseeable future. In terms of government formation this time round, you know, there was certainly an appetite for a Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Green Party coalition early to the midpoint of last week. Whether that now moves to include the Social Democrats, you know, it would be interesting. But again, you're still very much in the same space. But, you know, I don't see any kind of move on from either of the big parties as of yet to doing a deal with Sinn Féin. And I just think that is probably the one kind of door we can close as of now. So ultimately, it will, whether it takes 3 weeks, 4 weeks or 6 weeks.
And are we looking at confidence in supply, Danny, or are we looking at a grand coalition?
No, I think confidence in supply has been ruled out, and I think it's been ruled out by both sides. I just think, you know, I think both sides suffered the pain of confidence in supply. So I think if you're going to do it, you're looking at a grand coalition. There's obviously fear within Fine Gael because they'll be going in as the junior coalition party, and the great fear about all of this, you know, debate going back is, you know, the smaller party would be, you know, devoured in any sort of arrangement. And there is a genuine fear and a legitimate fear of that because, you know, from a policy point of view, there is little or enough to split between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil.
They're the obvious coalition because of their policy platforms. But the grassroots, particularly in Fianna Fáil, it's a bitter pill.
It is a bitter pill, but ultimately, you know, as I said, you know, if you're looking at the 85% of people who say they don't want a general election, they're now looking at, well, what outcomes are available to avoid that sort of general election or to avoid that second general election? And those options are limited. You know, there isn't a kind of a desire really amongst the two former big parties to do a deal with Sinn Féin. So therefore, you're looking at a deal between those two. The confidence supply or reverse confidence supply has now been ruled out by Fine Gael in particular. So therefore, the only realistic viable option is a grand coalition with the Greens.
Or perhaps to go back to the polls without, you know, maybe pleasing the electorate by doing so, but nonetheless.
It'd be a brave man or woman to take that decision because, you know, because I think what the experience of election 2020 has shown us is that how fickle and how volatile the electorate is. I mean, when you have Sinn Féin councillors losing their seat and then topping their poll less than nine months later, it goes to show there's a high level of volatility amongst the electorate.
Lastly, and very briefly, I see Senator Jerry Buttermer has tweeted you to say extraordinary
that Danny
McConnell, who led the charge for change, is accusing Fine Gael of scuttling off. He should go after those who want change. What do you say to that?
Well, it's classic Jerry Buttermer to misrepresent my position, as he always does. What I would say is that I didn't say I was accusing them of scuttling off. I think there's a thirst within Fine Gael to scuttle off. I talk to many of their TDs on a daily basis. Their preferred option, by and large, is to get out of government, go into opposition, lick their wounds and regroup. So far be it from Jerry to get it right. Yet again, he's gotten it wrong. I am simply merely representing the position of his party colleagues who clearly want to get out of government and leave it up to Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil to form a government.
All right. Thank you for that. Indeed, that is Danny McConnell, their political editor at the Irish Examiner. 53106, lads, what would you like to see happen? Do you want the grand coalition, probably with the Greens, the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the healing of old civil war politics? Do you want that? Do you want to see the reunification of the split that became Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil? Do you want to see those pairing going together? We're never going to see Fine Gael and Sinn Féin, are we? So that's not a runner. Will the left outperform themselves and stand up and not fracture and not split and actually become cohesive and get in line all together and deliver left-wing policies? Is that what people would want to see? 53106, let me know what you think.
Lunchtime Live with Ciara Kelly on News Talk.
Mark is on the line though. Mark, what kind of a government, something completely different conversation, would you like to see form with all the, you know, the nuts and bolts and the seats as we have them?
Can't help you with the blonde thing, no. But
fair enough.
I'm Mr. Average, right? I've got the average commute of average family, probably, you know, average car, you know, I'm that guy in the middle, you know?
And
we all understand the economy is important. Absolutely. We all have jobs. Our customers are all there, you know, it's important. But I think Fine Gael have let it slip badly. It looks like they would prefer to support, you know, the vulture funds in inverted commas than people. And I think what people want, and certainly the people I know, we want somebody who's actually going to govern for people in the country, not for big business.
And who do you see that as being?
As in what? As in
Who are those people that are going to govern the country better, do you think?
Well, that's the thing. It's a difficult choice. We've got a whole stream of people on the left, including Sinn Féin, who have no experience in government.
No, yeah, I actually thought it was very comical last week. I saw Richard Boyd Barrett interviewed several times about, you know, would you go in as a leftist? And he looked shocked at the prospect that he might end up in government, because I don't know that it was ever on his agenda.
Yeah, possibly. And look, but I think there is a desperation out there to see, particularly the housing thing, sorted and done properly. Not, you know, these kind of sound bites. Yeah, they're not building, and they've had a long time to do it, and they haven't done it. I'm sorry. Unfortunately, Mr. Murphy, not a good look.
I think a huge amount of people would agree with you on that. But nonetheless, what do you want to see happen?
I would like to see. Personally, I would like to see some sort of centre-left arrangement where it's just tilted a little bit back towards the people.
So would you say Fianna Fáil then? Green, Sock Dem, Labour, that grouping kind of thing?
Yeah, I think we're probably going to have something involved in the Greens. They were there at the end of the when everything went bust with Fianna Fáil, though, so I find that difficult. I have to say, I think we're living with Fianna Fáil's mess still, which is why we haven't had the money, I suppose, to sort these things out. So
yeah, but though, Fianna Fáil and the Greens between them have 49 seats, and that is bigger, considerably bigger than what Sinn Féin or what Fine Gael have. So despite the fact that you might say that coalition did not end well for the country in many ways, they still have quite a sizable block between them.
They do, and that, when I saw the results when it came out, I was looking for change. I was happy to see some sort of a left coalition go in and try, you know, make an effort at trying to do it differently. But when I saw the thing was 22-23, I went, well, no, this is not going to be straightforward. So we're in a difficult place, and maybe it's one election too soon for Sinn Féin.
Yeah, possibly. It's not impossible that they would go up in the next, supposing there was a rerun, that they would go up would not be impossible. But they take their votes very possibly from the left, as you know, that's not impossible, because, I wrote about this myself the weekend. I think if we had a rerun, it is very possible that Sinn Féin would go up, probably at the expense of the left. But I actually think Fine Gael would go up too, because there are people who are so wholly opposed to Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin work as like a sort of a talisman now in Irish politics. You're for them or you're against them. That the opposition to the natural opposition to Sinn Féin, which is, as I would see it, would be Fine Gael, I think we might see them do better actually too, bizarrely.
Well, I suppose, look, at the end of the day, I think, you know, everybody knows, and it's looking more and more like this as the years go by, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, you know, what is the difference?
Not entirely sure.
And they're probably kept apart for the time when Sinn Féin do gain momentum, and then they will form one bloc.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen. And if the left can coalesce around that, then we might actually have some decent debate in the country.
Yes, I agree with you that we could actually, you know, if you chose to vote left, you could. If you chose to vote centrist, you could, because you'd have those options, as opposed to the Tweedledum, Tweedledee. You go from one opposition to another opposition, but they're all the same.
Well, as I call it, it's the Punch and Judy show.
Yeah, you know,
they're hammering each other, and we're going, brilliant.
I think you're right, Mark. I don't mean this in no disrespectful way. I think you are Mr. Average, because I think what you've said there is what an awful lot of people think, and I think dead right. Look, thank you for talking to me. Someone says, Ciara, I'm wondering, when you suggest there's a naivety among the electorate, if we need to consider that there's simply a lack of candidates and politicians on the left. It seems to me if we were simply more left-leaning candidates to vote for in parties like Sinn Féin, Sock Dems, People Before Profits, etc., people would have voted for them. Numbers are low for change government because there weren't enough candidates put forward for these parties, including the Greens, compared to the big two. Could be. I do think if there's another election, Sinn Féin in particular will put more people up, but I don't know where we'll go. And someone else is here. What about the 38% who didn't bother to vote? They have helped create this impasse. They have, and I totally agree with you. There's a question for you, our listeners. 53106, should voting be mandatory here? It's mandatory in other countries. Should we do the same?
Lunchtime Live with Ciara Kelly on News Talk.
We also talked about what form of government would you guys like to see happen. We have the seat numbers. They fall as they do. It's basically a third, a third, a third. Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and then a collection of other groupings. Where do we go from here? It's tricky to form one at all, but what would you like to see? And Willie is on the line. Willie, what are your thoughts on government?
Hello, Ciara. Lovely to talk to you.
You too.
Yeah, I'm well, thank God, yeah.
Good stuff.
Ciara, I'm a gentleman of a certain age. I've been voting in many of the election down through the years, and I would traditionally, through my father, Lord be good to him, brought me down a road which, it's not a pleasant road. It's not a road I would be, I'm not proud of it in the slightest, because he affected my politics. My father was born in 1904. He fought in the Civil War in 22. He would have been about 18 or something at the time. I know very little about his background in that sense. He never talked about it. And of course, he gave me, he was very much a Republican in his younger stage, but was disgusted when Mr. De Valera claimed he wouldn't go into the Dáil in 32, wouldn't take the oath and so on. And I've been hounded by this. My father would turn in his grave. And I'm being very honest about it, if I was to vote for Fianna Fáil. But the one part that people seem to be leaving out of the equation at the moment is people like me, who traditionally have this background of not voting for a certain Party. Now, I would have changed my vote. I would have voted a lot for the Labour Party, and on this occasion, I voted for the Labour Party because my father was a strong trade unionist. I voted for Aidan O'Riordan in this particular case, and delighted to do so. And I'm convinced that there are many people from the different parties have a lot to offer this country in the political sense. And in fact, from my years of living in this world, I'm convinced that we don't have the ideal system for picking a government to run a country, particularly if that country is in any sort of crisis situation,
so
as
you
we
think,
were.
Yeah, the PR system, it does kind of get a little bit of everything. And we say it's good and it's fair and it's probably unhackable in fairness to it. But
yeah.
But first past the post, which it does
no,
get a majority.
No,
you want a different system
altogether? Oh, no, I'd be a PR man completely. I think in two of the below ways, it's a pity we didn't have something within our constitution that the president could have said to the major parties at the time, I need X amount. You pick out guys, the best guys you have, put them up into Farmley House and sort out the problems we have now. Because the problems at the time were really
well,
dreadful.
The Troika was here. You know, well, I there was talk, as if you might remember, of a nationalist.
Pan-nationalist, yeah.
like a national, not a nationalist, a national government, a government
yes.
formed from the best of multiple parties because we were in a crisis, but it yeah. didn't obviously come to pass. If you yeah. were, are you willing to say who you'd like to see in there?
Oh, my main reason for ringing your good cells was that I haven't heard people like myself saying how amazed I would be if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael would come together. I'd actually be amazed and delighted.
Would you? You'd be pleased
I
by it.
I would be absolutely delighted if the two of them came together. And I think what Ireland badly needs, has needed for a long time, is a clear divide between right and left. And we don't have that in the country. We never really had it. The Labour Party, despite being a supporter of them, were always a small minority-type party supporting others. I was disgusted when they went in and supported Fianna Fáil. But that's neither here nor there.
So when you say you're obviously, you've said a few times now you wouldn't like Fianna Fáil. Oh, not that you wouldn't like them, but that Fianna Fáil were, your family were not Fianna Fáilers.
Yeah,
and so
that's right.
Can
and that's,
presume you were Fine Gaelers then on that basis?
No, funny enough, my father didn't go down that road. He seemed to go from there to, because he was arrested himself and spent some time in Mountjoy for republicanism back in the early 20s. And as I say, I don't know, he didn't talk about it, but I know for a fact that happened. So my father was a very strong Republican, but when, I don't want to keep repeating, but when what happened, it happened in 32, my father just changed completely. As I say, he went down the Labour road rather than the Fine Gael road.
And lastly, so, before I let you go, Willie, because a huge number of people back in the day, exactly like yourself, I think, voted along family lines. People were tribal on it. So you were people were Fianna Fáil, or they were Fine Gael, or maybe maybe they were Labour, maybe they were a different movement. But people voted maybe quite like their parents did, and maybe their children did the same. But now that loyalty to party as such is kind of gone, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually totally agree with you. And I'm sort of disgusted at myself for being the way I am. I'm being very honest about it because I'm a political animal. I love politics. I love what you're doing on your programme.
Thank you.
I love listening to all what's going on at the moment. I'm fascinated as to what's going to happen. And obviously, here, look, it's quite simple. There are major problems in the country. Nobody doubts that. Whoever gets into power must prioritise those items, get them fixed up between whatever grouping comes together. And that's what needs to be done and what should be done. And I believe that whatever that grouping is, we'll do that.
Yeah,
we'll
I think you're speaking for an awful lot of people. I do think you're speaking for an awful lot of people, Willie. And thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. Greg is also on the line in Carrickmacross. Greg, you had an interesting discussion with your son about voting. How old is your son?
Well, my son is 32 here, so.
And would you be in your 50s or 60s kind of age?
I'll be 60 next time.
All right, okay, fair. Okay, so you're a different generation, and is there a generational split in your house?
Well, it's not so much the split. I mean, we were basically, it's a bit about mandatory voting, really, right? So my son sadly broke his leg, so he didn't vote this time round.
Yeah, okay.
But I did ask him, are you going to vote? Do you want me to come and get you and bring you to vote?
Yeah.
And he just basically, as a lot of kids do, he said, no, Dad, I'm not going to bother. Couldn't be troubled by it, not bothered about any of them, don't even want, don't care who it is because it makes no difference to me type of attitude, right?
Yeah.
Now, I would have been from that attitude of, our forefathers died for the right and we should exercise it and all of that sweet stuff.
I'm inclined to agree with you, to be honest.
Well, his argument, which I think I find hard to argue with, is, yeah, that's right, Dad, we live in a democracy with freedom of choice, and that should also include people's choice, people having the freedom to choose not to vote. And in fairness, I kind of find that hard to argue with here. He did stop me in my tracks, if you think about it.
I do, and you're not the only person who has said this, because I can see tweets and texts coming in and saying like pretty much the exact same thing. James says, Kieran, no to mandatory voting. How is that democratic? The entire point of democracy is freedom to choose. This includes choosing whether to opt out or not. I see that argument, but if you're not in, basically you're shrinking the electorate to be less representative. You know what I mean? So I don't know the numbers, but supposing 2 million people were eligible to vote and only 1 million voted or 1.5 million voted, then we're getting a less representative selection of people voting. Now, maybe with such a large proportion, it's still relatively representative, but equally, the 30-something percent that didn't vote this time around, they could have swung the election one way or the other.
Yeah, but they didn't have... I mean, I don't know the circumstances of everyone who didn't vote, and none of us do, right? But those who chose not to vote rather than couldn't vote for other reasons, right? I mean, they obviously didn't have any idea who they wanted to vote for, so it's very hard to say what they would have done. I mean, if I'd have sort of flood marched them down into the voting station...
He's a bit old for that. He's 32.
Yeah, I'd have dragged them down by the ear or whatever you wanted to say to you. And made him vote, you know, how would he have voted if he didn't know where to vote, you know?
So, I see what you're saying. If he's not engaged in the process, maybe opting out.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's that. But there's also the other side of mandatory voting that does strike me. I mean, there's a lot of people who can't vote for lots of reasons. And if you have mandatory voting, that implies a penalty for not voting. So, you know, if I took someone like, you know, my grandmother who sadly passed now, but she had dementia, right?
Yeah.
So if she didn't vote, was someone going to come to her house and arrest her? You know?
I'm sure there'd be medical. I'm sure there'd be medical exemptions, but I take your point, and it's an interesting one. And there's always been, and thank you for that, Greg. There's always been that debate about whether or not you should have to exercise your democratic right to vote, or whether exercising your democratic right not to vote is equally as valid. I have never liked the spoiled votes, non-voting people. I don't mean personally, but that idea, because I think it is good to find out what everybody thinks when we elect somebody. I just think it is. But you know, Greg makes a good point that in fairness, if you're disengaged from the process and you don't know Billy from Jack or Billy from Jane, then maybe voting is going to give us a peculiar result. But 53106, let me know what you think. Andy's on the line too. Andy, what do you have to say about government formation?
Well, Kira, I think that we're in the process, this process of trying to choose a government is being hampered by the system that we have adopted here, PR, the single transferable vote.
Yep.
And I think the problem is that on one ballot paper, a person can choose a whole load of policy options that are mutually incompatible. I can choose person X, and my surplus then after, if he gets, he or she gets elected, there's a surplus, and it goes to person Y. Person X and person Y could be diametrically opposed to each other in nearly every way, shape, or form. And hence, what you're going to get is a fudge. And that's what we're facing right at the
moment.
Yeah,
you're not wrong. I mean, the upshot of PR is always almost in our system going to be coalitions, and they're becoming increasing. You remember when the Rainbow Coalition was a novelty, because it was like, oh no, we have to have more than one party. We have to have more than two. We have to have three. And it was groundbreaking to some extent here that there would be a Rainbow Coalition. But now, sure, you have no chance. We might end up with four to get us across the line or more.
Yeah. Well, it's just that I think that it leads to fundamentally weak. It's a fundamentally weak system. Might be very representative, all right, but it means...
In terms of government, you won't have an out-and-out majority right and left and all that. Yeah, you're not. You're quite right. Before I let you go, would you like then to see first past the post? Is that what you would prefer, like they have in the UK?
No, first past the post can be cruel as well, to be fair. They have list systems in Europe, like the French system seems to be pretty good, or the German system. They might be some sort of a compromise, but being able to vote for two candidates with completely diametrically opposed positions on a lot of issues is crazy.
Says an awful lot about the electorate, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? You vote Sinn Féin number one and Fine Gael number two, or vice versa, or what have you.
Yeah, no amount of civics classes is going to sort it, unfortunately.
People are, there's nothing as queer as folk is what it actually is, but yes, and that's democracy and the flaws therein, but personally I prefer it to any other system myself. But look, thank you for that,
okay.
Andy. Thanks very much. John's on the line in Cork. John, you do not want to see, in particular, the Greens in government. I thought everyone had gone green these days. Tell me why.
Well, greetings from the Loch in Cork, where you will be on Wednesday.
I will. I hope to see you there. Are you coming out for a walk?
I will indeed, yeah.
Oh, good stuff, John. Fair play.
No, I don't want to see the Greens because after a long time period, they got back into Cork City Council here. And the first thing they did, they didn't address one trolley situation up in the COH in Cork or the Mercy Hospital. They didn't address anything about social housing, right? The first thing they proposed when they were only their backsides in the seat was a 16% rise in property tax. This is why people are terrified of the Greens, because they're all about taxes, carbon taxes, taxes for this, taxes for that. The people in rural area, in rural Ireland, where many of my relations live in the farming community, they're terrified of the Greens. And I believe that the Greens are only being brought. I don't believe, Ciara, that Leo Varadkar wants to go into opposition. I think this is a ruse. This is a spin that's been put out. They will go in with Fianna Fáil, and they're doing it deliberately to keep Sinn Féin out. They're using the Greens as a buffer zone, right, to appease the dissidents in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Also, to kind of massage the electorate out there, just to say, look, it's not the Grand Coalition. We brought a third party in, and things should be okay. And the reason they're doing that is, at the next election, and they will do something which is despicable now to me, Ciara, right? To just to damage Sinn Féin, right? Which I'm not a member of, and I didn't vote for them, right?
Okay.
They will then address the housing and the health, which they should have done with the last 9 years, and which is ridiculous content supply for 4 years, right? They'll hit the ground running then, not for the sake of the public, but just make sure that the public will see, oh, look, they've made a difference in the next 2 years.
What did you think, John? I don't know if you heard him, but we had Daniel McConnell, political editor of the Irish Examiner, on earlier.
And he said,
actually, in the next 2 to 3 years, the policies that were put in place by Owen Murphy will come to fruition, but they took that long to come to fruition. So whoever is in government in 2 to 3 years' time will inherit policies that are now coming around, and they'll get the benefit from it, even though it was performed by Fine Gael and Owen Murphy.
Well,
is there truth in that?
That's debatable, because, I mean, look, they've had a long time of the last 9 years to address the housing, right? How long does it take to make some kind of a dent in it, Ciara? But the way I look at it, what they will do, they'll hit the ground running, which they should have done for the last 9 years, right? And basically do it to destroy Sinn Féin at the next election. I reckon, and this is my prediction, personal opinion, that Sinn Féin, if they can't get into power this time, they're finished. Because the electorate will take away the vote the next time. If they can see the three parties that will be in them, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens, and that vote will revert away from Sinn Féin again. So if Sinn Féin don't get in this time, they're finished.
Oh, okay, fair. Look, lastly, who would you like to see in there? Like, if we were going to make a government, John, who do you want to be in it?
Well, I mean, I'm a member of Ian Toole, but we've only one deputy, Pat O'Toole, in, right? So that's not going to happen for a hell of a long time. But look, I would like to see some of the left in there, right? But that would be Sinn Féin mostly. And, possibly Fianna Fáil.
The kind of Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin and whoever they could come in there.
And they could bring in someone else
was on about that earlier.
Please leave the Greens out, because if you remember, and I'll finish on this, this ridiculous statement that Eamon Ryan made there about bringing back the wolves in Ireland.
Wolves. Keeping the wolves from the door is what a lot of us are about.
Well,
but anyway,
all I can say is find a green field and have a picnic, Greens.
All right. All right, John. Thank you for that. Are you against the wolves? Poor Eamon Ryan. He got an awful ear bashing for the wolf comment. Loads of people getting involved. Elaine says, Ciara, the election campaign was conducted by all the opposition parties on the basis of change, including Fianna Fáil. Now Fianna Fáil want to back out of that picture. They have the largest number of seats and Sinn Féin the largest vote. Logically, they should put the new government together. Yes, it's not logic though, Elaine, is it? It's about seat numbers. It boils down to brass tacks, and they can do whatever the hell they want now you've put them in there. Another one says, Anne says, there wasn't much option, Ciara, if you didn't want to vote for the old parties who are two sides of the one coin. And if you didn't want to vote for Sinn Féin, then there was no choice. We need a good centre-left party. Mind you, they are all the same. They make promises which can't be kept. We're very cynical now about politics, aren't we, lads? We really are. Another one says, Ciara, I'm one of the non-voters. We had a wedding out of the country for the election and we applied for a postal vote, but we're told a wedding was not an excuse. Why can't we be like Switzerland and can vote for any day leading up to the election, up to 7 days? Good question. And Gary says, everyone blames Fianna Fáil for the collapse in 07-08. But the fact is that it wasn't just Ireland. It was the world. What I would hold Fianna Fáil culpable for was their lack of integrity at the time. They swore that the IMF were not coming when in fact they were already in talks with them and signing away our freedoms. I haven't trusted them since. On a side note, how dare Fine Gael ruling out any party for talks. The arrogance is maddening. Bring on another general election. Let Fine Gael lose all their bloody seats. Sorry, I won't come on to talk at this moment. I can't. 53106, what do you think? What would you like to see happen? Who do you want? I mean, you know the seats. They boil down to this. 37 Sinn Féin, 37 Fianna Fáil, 38 but the Ceann Comhairle, 35 Fine Gael, 12 the Greens, isn't it? 6 the Sock Dems, 4 Labour, like, and then there's a scattering of people before profity people and then a load of independents. What do you want to see happen? Somebody has to go in with somebody else. What's your preference? 53106. Let's take a break.
Lunchtime Live with Ciara Kelly on News Talk.